Oddly enough, the circumstances of the morning tie into the second talk very niftily, because Vedanas is about our experience of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, and how we hold that, how we're able to be mindful of that. And this word Vedanas, real important in this practice. So if you can, it's one of those Pali words, if you can remember it, it's really handy. Because it's such a great little word. It captures such an important understanding that's not easily, how can that be? That's not easily expressed in English. Not easily expressed in English. So some of you who have been in this practice for a while may notice that Vedanas isn't only the second of the five skandhas, it's also the second of the four foundations of mindfulness. And that's really useful. And it's this idea of our encounter with phenomena being pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral is taught by the Buddha, approached by the Buddha in two slightly different points of view. How many people here are aware of the four foundations of mindfulness? Okay, quite a few, good. And for those who aren't, it's the basic framework for what the Buddha taught about how to do this practice, which is kind of areas to be mindful of: body, Vedanas, mind, and dharmas or phenomena. But in this case, in terms of what makes up our sense of self, Vedanas is also the second. And it's often, you'll see it translated as feelings sometimes in English. And that's sort of misleading, because feelings, we think of that as emotions. And so it's not emotions, it's our contact with phenomena, and whether we instantly think of it, rather than think of it, react to it as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. It's very primal. It's kind of this instinctive reaction. And I often think of this as almost like reptilian, you know, and how immediate it is. It's maybe due to our evolution, but it's a function we have, that we have this instant reaction. I mean, maybe this morning when all the technology was going wonkers, some of you may have felt some sense of unpleasant. And that's cool. It's just what arose. But to be mindful of that, that's the trick. The arising just happens. To be mindful of it and not react to it or respond to it, that's where the practice comes alive. And in terms of our sense of self, how, when that comes up, a lot of, well, we'll talk about this, we tend to concretize around a feeling of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, and sort of own it like it's us and identify with it. Causes all kinds of trouble. So, you know, let's say, I don't know, you're sitting outside, you're sitting here, and a dog barks or kids are making noise downstairs. What's your first response? You know, before you even think about it, before you even know what's going on, often we have a response like, oh, don't like that. Or, oh, I do like that. Maybe it's beautiful music, like that. Dog barking, don't like that. Just see this gut reflex happen. And around, if there's someone like a person, you know, near us, you may have a reaction of liking or disliking. And we may concretize this whole relationship around that, around ourselves and that person. And then on a thought level, can you read this stuff up here? Hopefully not. Good. Okay. on the thought level, we can have a thought arise about something. Maybe it's a trip to Italy, and suddenly we're lost in our sense of pleasant, perhaps. You know, the pasta, the sunshine, the art, all this pleasant happens. Or a thought of a root canal coming up may arise in our minds, and it's unpleasant. We have this instant reaction before we even think about it. Just this gut, and then we may elaborate on it with thinking. And it's just in this unmindful reaction, this unmindful sense of that is where we get in trouble in our lives, because it often leads us into action, and it also can build our sense of identity around it. And often, you know, if we register something as unpleasant without even realizing that, we may make that a priority or congeal a sense of self around that and come up with a direction to go in. And if you think of, you know, like, say we're looking online at whatever we look at, I don't know, shoes or cars or plants or whatever it is that we look at online, or in a, I guess they used to have that in store windows, right? Or in a store window. And you can see this part of you, like we're trained to just have these multi-decisions, like that, don't like that, like that, don't like that. You know, we're incredibly culturated to do that. And it's so seamless. It's almost like the flickering of an insect's wing. We don't see that we're doing it. And so we're just pulled into it. And, you know, here in 2021, as we all know, some of the best and brightest out there are coming up with all kinds of marketing schemes and imagery and all kinds of stuff to get us to go like that and then push the buy button. So we're surrounded by that. And to be able to be mindful of it is so powerful, because we can push the clutch, you know, we can delink from that rabbit wheel or mouse wheel, whatever it is. And then, you know, in our relationships with people, our encounters with people, that's an area where there's an amazing amount of just the same primal reaction going on. Who's attractive, who's not attractive, who's irritating, who's of a different color of skin, who's somehow threatening to us, who isn't. All this circumstance of humanity, there's tons of these subtle little responses going on, but we can settle down into it and see how much of it comes from Vedanas. So like these are sort of circumstances that we're conscious of, but to kind of go down into the level of Vedanas and see how that pleasant, unpleasant, neutral is operating is really useful. And this can drive our sense of identity. You know, this is where it comes up in the skandhas, is the things that we see as pleasant or unpleasant often become who we are. You know, like we might be someone who likes certain kinds of wine or doesn't like okra or does like fast cars or whatever we don't like. And these things become so wedded into our identity, we don't even know. We build our sense of self is partly built just on this, just on our array of likes and dislikes. And so we can stiffen up around that. You know, if you get around a highly recognized being like the Dalai Lama, you get this sense that there's nothing stuck there. He's just kind of connecting with life, and there's no sense of, I'm not going to like you because of how you are. It never happens, you know. It's always this just immediate presence. And it doesn't mean he doesn't have that experience of Vedana, but he doesn't stick to it. He's aware of it. And that's the where we can work. This is still going to happen. We've still got this reptilian part. But to be mindful of it when it happens and not stick there, that's the trick. And so this isn't about not feeling what we're feeling. It's about being mindful when we're feeling what we're feeling in this incredibly simple area. I mean, it's almost like so simple in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. I used to go, what, really? That's it? But the more you settle into it, you see how important it is. And the same with the skandhas. So pleasant and unpleasant happens. You know, maybe it was unpleasant for some of you when there was feedback and Zoom was popping in and out and all kinds of stuff. It happens. Life happens. But how we hold it, that's the magic. That's the magic. And the key is mindfulness. And it goes into our whole sense of personality. You know, when we encounter something and we just feel unpleasant happening, then to be mindful there, right there. That's the magic of how we can not be so tight around our sense of self. So in terms of what we do, as I'm saying, the answer is to be mindful, to have it be an area of practice, which is really fascinating because we tend to objectify when there's something that seems unpleasant. We think it's that thing or that person. We look out. It's them. But it's actually what's arising in us. And if you really take a step back, you know that, you know, you're pleasant and someone else is unpleasant can be exactly the same thing. Some folks don't like insects at all. Some people eat them and think they're delicious. You know, it's just how our circumstance is. Joseph Goldstein, here's a great quote from Joseph Goldstein, famous Western teacher, as many of you know. We often don't see that it is the feeling we're attached or adverse to, not the object itself. We might think we're attached to the fantasy or averse to the sound or certain sensations in the body. But on closer looking, we see that all this movement of mind resolves around the feeling tone, pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. It's the pleasant feeling we like and want to hold on to, the unpleasant feeling we want to push away, and the neutral feeling we don't even know we're feeling. So in practice, we begin to realize that what's catalyzing that kind of doesn't matter. It's just to be mindful of the arising itself. You know, just kind of, just doesn't matter. It's almost like an opportunity. Like this morning when things were going wacky and I could see, oh, I'm pleasant in me, but I was trying, you know, just be aware of that and just, okay, fine. That it's unpleasant and then navigate through it. So it's helpful in it's freeing to just not to think that it's not outside stuff. It's just our own response that we're working with and then be mindful of it. So it helps us navigate through unexpected circumstances of life or difficult circumstances and to bring it right into the practice. So that the very things at our heart, whether it's strong, unpleasant or strong, pleasant, and the second, as we know, gets people in all kind of trouble when they chase after something they probably shouldn't have just because it seemed really pleasant. Just take every changing moment and bring that right into the practice just by looking at bringing into mindfulness the Vedanas. So this is, you know, this is really simple. It sounds really simple. Like a lot of practice. It is really simple. Doing it is where the practice comes in because it runs kind of counter to our tendencies. And the more we can practice this, the more we can find freedom. And also in terms of our sense of self, the less sticky it'll be. So I'll close with two quotes from the Buddha and we'll have a little chance for a little discussion. In one place, one sutta, and I should have gotten a citation, I apologize. But he says, monastics, that one shall here and now make an end to suffering without abandoning the underlying tendency to lust for pleasant feeling, without abolishing the underlying tendency to aversion toward painful feeling, without extirpating the underlying tendency to ignorance. in regard to either painful or pleasant feelings. This is impossible. So what he's saying here is we can't make an end to suffering without abandoning or being mindful of these tendencies. We need to be able to see through them by being mindful of them. That's probably a little hard to decipher. And then in the Satipatthana Sutta, in the refrain about this, he says, or else mindfulness that there is feeling is simply established in one to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness, and one abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That is how a monastic abides contemplating feelings as feelings. So that is so simple, you know. He's saying be mindful as they arrive, and the result, not clinging to anything in the world. And clinging means grasping and aversion. So there's freedom there.